Why has it been particularly hard for apartments to install solar power over houses?
So there are two aspects to that. One is that apartments tend to have a lot of renters in them, and that brings into play the split incentive problem where the owner of the property doesn't want to pay for the investment in solar panels when all of the solar electricity is then going to flow just to the tenant. And then the very specific thing about apartments is that even if all the owners wanted to get solar, there's still complications around who owns the roof and how you go about installing solar on what is in almost all cases a shared roof. So the roof is the property, is part of the common area of the apartment, so it needs to go through the body corporate or the strata committee.
How can people, though, that live in apartments install solar power? Is it possible?
Yeah, it's absolutely possible. So there are kind of three options. One, which is what we did at Stucco Cooperative over in Newtown, is to convert the whole building into an embedded network where the whole building is pooled into one shared energy customer from the grid, and then you can install solar and share solar kind of behind the whole building's meter. So often you hear solar being referred to as being behind the meter. Mm-hmm. Rooftop solar, at least, being behind the meter.
What does that mean?
So that means that you are supplying yourself behind the meter. So you are replacing or displacing some of your local energy demand within your building with the solar that you produce locally. And then in contrast to that, things that are in front of the meter is, say, a solar farm, something that is on the grid side of the electricity network rather than being on the local homes kind of demand side. And so that's one way of doing it. That's not what I would advise most people to do. There are two much more simple and straightforward ways of installing solar in an apartment building. One is that you just install solar on the roof, somewhere on the common property, which is the roof, and then use that solar system to supply the common area's load. Mm-hmm. So in an apartment building, that's typically like the lifts, communal lighting. You might have a pool, those sorts of things that are the shared amenities of the building. And in that way, the kind of the sinking fund or the pot of money that belongs to the body corporate gets used to invest in the solar system, and the returns of the solar electricity that's being produced directly flows to the body corporate as well.
How many solar panels would you need to be installed just to power, say, the common lighting in an apartment block of, I don't know, say 12?
Probably not very much.
Yeah?
So it really comes down to the specifics of each building. So that they're the advice is that it really is worth getting at least three solar companies to give quotes or engaging a consulting company to do an assessment on that. Because it really does come down to how many lights, when are they on, what type of lights, all these sorts of things. And lighting is generally a relatively poor match for solar because it's used more in the evening times than in the daytimes. But if you have things that are running all the time, so another example is bigger apartment buildings that have car parks often have fans that ventilate the car parks to get the carbon monoxide and other gases out of there. And they'll generally run 24/7, although it's another good – that kind of reminds me to say that it's always worth doing energy efficiency upgrades before putting in solar. So in that example, it's worth getting fans that only operate when they sense that the carbon monoxide levels rise above a certain threshold. That can already reduce your electricity usage quite a bit. But there's also a third way in which apartments can get solar, which is that they can install lots of small solar systems. So say your example of 12. Yeah, let's take your example of the apartment with 12 units. So they probably don't have that much demand in the common area. Let's assume they don't have lifts and whatnot. And then it's probably better to use the roof space that's available, installs 12 individual solar systems, and wire each one of those into each of the individual people's units. That way they can then use that power during the day to power their fridge, their kettles, their laptops, their computers, all the things that they're using domestically can then be covered by their personal solar system.
So you
that happens to just be on the shared roof.
For something like a two-bedroom apartment, you could essentially use just one solar unit. What percentage of a household could that power?
It sorry for being so flighty on this. It really depends.
Yeah, of course.
On your usage pattern. So there's two, and yeah, when I say a solar system, I mean like a solar, not one module. I mean probably like four modules,
yep.
Four panels. With that, I mean sorry. Something on that order, like 1 kilowatt to 2-3 kilowatts, something like that. What I will say is that I think the average size of solar installs in New South Wales or Australia is sitting at around 4 to 5 kilowatts these days, and there's a lot of incentives to kind of maximize the amount of solar you can get on your roof. With the way electricity prices are skyrocketing, and now, to be fair, also in the way in which the feed-in tariffs, which is the amount of money you get for any excess solar that you supply and sell back to the grid, mm-hmm. that's also increased, almost doubling from in New South Wales around 6 cents to now around 12 cents per kilowatt hour. And the fact that we still have government rebates in the form of the small scale technology certificates, STCs, and the fact that a lot of the cost of installing a solar system is just getting the installer out there, getting the electrician to wire it all up, that while you're doing this, it really is worth going all out and getting solar to cover as much of your sunny roof as possible.